This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Blue Wire.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
And the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray.
This year's most valuable player, Lamar Jackson.
Jackson himself. Look at him dart back and forth. Oh! He broke his ankles! He is Houdini! Touchdown! Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
Alright guys, welcome back to the Establishing Class Podcast, presented by Clutch Points and our friends at Blue Wire. I am your host, Blake Lovell. With me, once again, is my co-host, Dylan Reagan, back here after our short little mini-vacation, which was an actual vacation for Dylan. And, of course, Dylan, as we teased on the previous episode, we had a feeling that there was going to be a big trade made, and we thought that it was probably going to involve Julio Jones. And turns out we were right, and now I guess I am the one that is sort of put on the spot here to where I don't know that I can sit back and just dog the Titans anymore because the Titans, as we know for longtime listeners, they're the team that I've always kind of been up and down on. You never really know. Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? Do I trust them? Well, I trust them a little bit now just for actually being able to pull off this trade and to get Julio to Nashville, but... still, it's interesting because I think it certainly changes the way we look at where things stand for the Titans. It certainly changes the way we look at where the Falcons are. And yeah, there's just a lot to kind of digest from this trade.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as we kind of talked about last time, was not surprised that Julio was traded shortly after. That was kind of our biggest takeaway. I didn't know exactly where he'd be, but I felt like it just seemed like everything was moving towards him being moved way before Aaron. Well, you know, it's a whole different ballgame with what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. But as I kind of talked about last time, obviously anyone would love to have Julio Jones. I just did not see the Titans with the cap space they had being the team that I thought would be able to pull off the deal. I think it kind of ended up coming down to, you know, what was actually offered being a lot lower than I anticipated. You know, initially, we never know what the rumors who are leaking these kind of things, but it seemed like a first-round pick was going to be involved. That was not the case ultimately here. So through some other teams that I'm surprised didn't make a trade if it was for that kind of package, I feel like a lot of teams would have been interested. But like you said, props to the Titans to make the move. They're going to be, you know, if you don't care about the result of the game, really, really exciting team because, I mean, they're not sure what to expect from their defense, but their offense was really already really good. It should be even better now. A team that finished fourth in DVOA on offense a year ago, one of the most balanced offenses in the NFL, fourth in pass DVOA, second in rush DVOA. I mean, man, it's going to be an exciting product. I hope they figure it out on the other side of the ball, because even if they tick up from, you know, being in the bottom four teams, which they were a year ago, and defense, just to being middle of the pack, they should, you know, at least in my mind, be the favorite in this division.
Yeah, I suppose I was going to say, we talk about how it changes things for both teams involved in the trade, but I do think it changes my outlook on the division itself, because as we did talk about, I mean, you didn't really know, like, we've said plenty about the Texans and expecting them to be, you know, not just the worst team in the division, but potentially the worst team in the NFL. And then, you know, the Jags, you feel like there's a lot of buzz around the Jags, but how quickly can they turn that into, you know, a team that's going to actually win the division, compete, you know, for a playoff spot, those types of things. We're not sure yet. And I think it's probably wait and see on them. And it really just came down to the Titans and the Colts. And I mean, there are certainly question marks for the Colts that we'll talk about as we go throughout the offseason. And I think the Titans address one of their biggest sort of spots. Yes, they have AJ Brown, but you know, not bringing back Corey Davis, and you looked around, we knew Jonnu Smith with the Patriots, and it was, yeah, I mean, it was one where, I mean, here's the thing, and it's so interesting to think about. The one thing we've always talked about with the Titans, like, there's been a common theme, whether it was Jeff Fisher, any of the coaches that have come along since then, but it's like, It's always been about running backs for the Titans. And it's just, it's never really been about receivers. Like, it's very crazy to think. Like, when you go back at all the receivers the Titans have brought in, yes, like, there are guys who have sort of developed into star players, but I don't know, you know, how many times have we attached a name like Julio Jones, you know, the Titans receivers? Like, I mean, you go back over the years, and again, this is not taken away from guys who came in and they made splash signings. You know, yes, they signed Carl Pickens and Randy Moss and guys like that, but like completely different situation to me, because you're not, I think in Julio, you're not looking at a guy who is just completely, you know, sort of in a part of his career where he's hanging on, trying to stay in the NFL. He's still just an absolute stud. And I just don't remember the last time the Titans sort of took that approach at receiver. I mean, again, they've had guys who have developed into great receivers in the NFL. Derek Mason, Kevin Dyson, like all those guys. But like, to me, this is just, this is one that, as someone who has certainly followed the Titans for a long time, like, this is just one that you don't expect, because it's always been a franchise that's really focused on its running game and seemingly, you know, had good quarterbacks. But the wide receivers have always kind of been something that you scratch your head at a little bit.
Yeah, you mentioned the two guys that came to mind when you're talking about receivers. I was like, well, okay, like Derek Mason. And then I was like, yeah, Kevin Dyson, I guess. You pretty much maybe like Kenny Britt. I'm trying to, but those are all guys they drafted, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. Whereas obviously this is a, just in general, Julio Jones is a whole different ballgame, let alone a guy with, you know, the fact that they didn't draft this guy. You have A.J. Brown, who knows, you know, another guy they drafted, who knows by the end of his career what his numbers will look like. But to actually go out and make that splash kind of addition here, when you already have that, you know, like you're saying, it's a running back kind of historically going from Eddie George to now Derrick Henry, to all-timers really already for what Derrick Henry's been able to do. And now you're adding Julio to that mix with their offensive line. Still, maybe not as strong as I thought it was a couple of years ago, but still, I still think of it as a top like 10 offensive line. So, man, yeah, they have all the weapons. Obviously, Arthur Smith is gone, but they have all the ammunition now, and especially with Julio, like you're saying, it's not like this guy. I know he's, you know, in his early 30s, and a lot of receivers might start falling off at this point, but there's no reason from what we've seen to believe that will be the case, especially in 2021. Probably not even for a couple more years. He just is a different dude. He's one of the best receivers of all time, and it's going to be, yeah, I mean, there's Titans fans should be really excited. Not trying to damper it too much by thinking about the defense, but I just feel like they are going to be, if you don't care so much about the result, or if, even if you're a Titans fan, but you're like, hey, I just want to watch really exciting games, that's probably going to be exactly what the case is. And that's not something we always say about our favorite division here in the AFC South. A lot of times we're making not necessarily fun of it, but it is a division that's not exactly heralded across the NFL as one of the premier in terms of just its history and all those kind of things. But yeah, it should be, like you said, the Colts, we'll talk probably another podcast about this. They do have a lot of concerns, mostly at under center. If I felt really confident in what was happening under center, or even a bit more, you know, if the floor was a little higher, I might still be more bullish on them. I still, you know, they were really close to advancing through the playoffs with Phillip Rivers being what he was at that point in his career. Obviously, that's the most important position to figure out, though. So maybe the Titans have more holes in their overall roster than the Colts, but there's a reason to be really excited about this offense. Could be one of the best offenses in the NFL, as it has been, should be again, and just need that defense to be a bit better. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think they put themselves in that conversation, you know, with some of these other teams if the defense comes along, and that's still the big question mark at this point. I mean, we know they've made additions in the offseason, Bud Dupree, and you know, they drafted Caleb Farley and such, but there's still some things they got to work out on the defensive side. So we'll see if that comes along for the Titans. Meanwhile, the Falcons, I mean, we've always kind of talked about the Falcons over the years. I mean, it's just kind of since the Super Bowl, and you know, that's the one point everybody just goes back to, and you feel like that things have just never been the same for the franchise since that point. And that's what we said. I mean, they, you know, there've been coaching changes. The defense has been horrible. The one constant has really been Julio Jones. When you think about it, I mean, Matt Ryan's been there too, but he's been up and down. I don't know that all of that's Matt Ryan's fault necessarily, because again, when the defense puts that much pressure on you, there's only so much you can do. But like, there's one constant that you've had with the Falcons for all these years now, and seemingly someone that has kept them, you know, in the conversation to at least win some games. Now he's gone, and that changes the dynamic for the Falcons. And you know, when you look at that division, that's one where we've talked about it. It's interesting to kind of look at that NFC South. You know, the Bucs are still the team to beat. Kind of changing of the guard now with the Saints. You don't really know what that's going to look like moving forward. The Panthers, same situation where there's a lot of change there. And there's a lot of change with the Falcons. So it's like that's a pretty unpredictable division outside of the team at the top there with the Bucs.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the Falcons, I think the main takeaway is that you have this guy that's a Hall of Famer who's going to go in with his bust with the Falcons, but you get a second-round pick for him. It's just crazy. I mean, Mohamed Sanu, they got a second-round pick for, if I recall correctly, which is – that's also, you know, Patriots, man, just if they could take that back and make this trade. I don't know if the Falcons would have been willing to give the team that beat them in the Super Bowl Julio, but nonetheless, in terms of Matt Ryan and this offense, like you said, he's been the one constant. And I mean, they were fourth in rush offense in 2016 with Kyle Shanahan, one of the better play callers, you know, especially with his running play designs to really help his quarterbacks. The team was just in a different place. As you said, their offensive line has been bad, but their running game just been abysmal on top of that in the years since Kyle Shanahan left for the Niners job. So there's issues there, but there's other issues with that team. I mean, they had good offenses still some of these years, and, you know, they just didn't really have a good defense. And a team now, like you said, in transition, and now you don't have Julio. And maybe there was more reason to be excited when you thought of, okay, we got Julio and Calvin Ridley, and we're throwing Kyle Pitts into this mix. This is another team that would be exciting. We knew there was going to be the issues with the cap. It's been discussed since, you know, early in the offseason. The Falcons felt like they had to make this move. It just feels a little disappointing, I guess, at the end of it all, that this is all that they end up getting. And now you look at what is this year. I mean, you really better hope that Arthur Smith can do what he did with the offense in Tennessee and how he was able to make Tannehill into what he is and try to really rediscover some sort of balance to the Falcons offense that just has not been there. Their defense last year ended up being kind of surprising. We thought they were going to be one of the worst defenses, or at least in the bottom quarter of the NFL. They finished 14th in DVOA. Obviously, the man that's responsible for that now gone as the Rams defensive coordinator. So it's an interesting – the Falcons, like you said, I mean, the Bucs are clearly the top team in that division. I don't think we're talking about the Falcons possibly as a division winner, but even in the wild card mix and the NFC, not as strong, in my opinion, as the AFC. I don't know. They're a team that's just – I don't know. I hope they don't get just stuck in the middle. Should they have moved on from Matt Ryan at this point? I don't know if that's exactly fair from what – all the different circumstances around what he's been able to do. Obviously, when you get a guy like Kyle Pitts, it's hard to pass on that kind of talent. But it might just be a year where maybe next year is when the Falcons are looking at the quarterback position, not necessarily because Matt Ryan's done after one more season, but because they do eventually need to have a long-term solution there. And it doesn't exactly look like a roster that's ready to win now. If it is ready to win now, what is the peak? Like, what is the top that you expect? Is it making the playoffs? That's not the ultimate goal at the end of everything. But it's just a natural, you know, it is what it is. They made the Super Bowl. There's these, a lot of teams never have made the Super Bowl, let alone in the last 20 years. And the NFL doesn't, it's really hard to keep the roster with all the turnover there is and all the different things, the injuries and just the time spans of careers. So it's just the natural course of the NFL. It's just probably time the Falcons, instead of just kind of holding on to this past era, maybe it is a sign now with Julio gone that they're starting to move forward into this next era of Falcons football.
Poor Arthur Smith. He leaves the Titans as offensive coordinator to be able to work with someone like Julio Jones and the Falcons. And what do the Falcons do? They trade Julio to the Titans. Just pure revenge there, I guess. But yeah, that's it's not ideal for the Falcons at all. I mean, if you look at their wide receiver group, which, like you said, they do have Kyle Pitts, and the expectation is that he's going to come in right away and, you know, be a stud. But
yeah,
if you look at their receiving group, like, we know Calvin Ridley, and then it's Russell Gage, Christian Blake, Cordero Patterson, and so forth. Like, that's much different in terms of taking attention away with someone like Julio Jones. And so, you know, that now turns to Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts and that duo there. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that offense. But like we said, it's one thing to have to worry about the offense now in addition to the defense, which, you know, we still don't know what the defense is going to look like, even though they've made some additions there. We're still not completely sure, you know, if the defense is going to be to the level that it needs to be for them to actually compete and win games regularly, so it'll be tough to do in that division for sure. But I guess, Dylan, now we can turn our attention to the one other common theme we've had throughout this offseason, and that is Aaron Rodgers. Apparently, there's still a dispute there with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, in case you hadn't heard at this point. Not knowing what the situation is going to be with him and what it looks like. I know there's been, you know, lots of stories done where, you know, once you get the team back out there and you start doing interviews and you get Jordan Love speaking and, you know, there's lots of comments and thoughts and, hey, Jordan Love's ready. He's ready to start if need be. But what else do you expect him to say if he's put in that position to actually be the starter? But, I mean, still, we're in wait-and-see mode. I don't know if there's a ton to go off of just based on where things stand right now, but this is the one thing now after the Julio Jones trade that we are just, you know, we sit back, we wait to see what happens, because it will, you know, it will much more than the extent of Julio Jones leaving the Falcons, which was a very huge development for the Falcons and the Titans, but the Aaron Rodgers, if he leaves, if he doesn't leave, that's even more significant in terms of the future of the Packers.
Yeah, it's just a whole different tier of obviously the position that we're talking about, the franchise we're talking about and its place in NFL history, the player himself. Like, it's just all, yeah, it's not really as much as Julio's an all-time receiver. This is just a different kind of sphere of, you know, conversation and and change and what it really can mean for NFL history. It's the Mark Murphy comments were strange for sure. I kind of was at first just was like, is this, I thought it was like a meme. like when it came out, the thing where he just said he's a complicated fella. And I was like, this feels like it's something that's fake. But apparently it's not. I know that Mark Murphy's not, you know, he's the president and CEO of the Packers. He's not the, you know, he's not what Ted Thompson was or Gutekunst. He was, he's not really a guy working in the football operations part of everything the same way. But it's still a very weird situation. I mean, yeah, for Jordan Love, you know, obviously last year with abbreviated offseason, all those things, I just feels like, and even last year, didn't really get a ton of reps with anyone. Now he's just, at least they're starting at this point, they're able to get these opportunities, although obviously not everyone's been reporting from the Packers to get to grow that kind of chemistry. It just puts Jordan Love in a really tough spot that, it just feels like, you know, we've kind of talked about this, but like if they, and Aaron kind of said this when he spoke about it, his only really major public comments a few weeks back on ESPN, just about like, you know, having kind of that conversation and more of a actual dialogue there instead of just making moves without really any input from him. As he said, it's not about Jordan Love and any of his teammates and those kind of things. It just feels like they probably, you know, could have even drafted Jordan Love and handled this in a different way. Just the people involved right now, Aaron's mixed up with. Obviously, they feel the front office and the organization themselves have their own opinion of the situation. It just feels like it's, at this point, again, it just feels like it's going to drag for a while. Like, yeah, every time you have like something like this, ends up kind of calming down as it did the last time we recorded, and probably that'll be the case by next week. And then 2 weeks from now, there'll be another whole thing coming out about, you know, whether it be an interview that a player gives or one of these organizational figureheads does. So, man, it's, yeah, for Jordan Love, good luck, I guess, because it's just like, we take the view of it's unreal, maybe not fair to expect, you know, him to step right in there and be, you know, even with the roster the Packers still have, even though they have such a quality roster, in my opinion, around whoever's under center, it's still too much to expect a lot from him quickly, but man, it might be the case. And obviously, like you said, it's a story of the offseason, and it's going to continue to be. It's only, we've been at this for a couple months now. It's going to, you know, since the draft essentially was when it really escalated to another level. It wasn't just frustration, but actual hoping to move on. But it's going to be a whole different ballgame if Aaron's on a different team. If he stays and he plays, and that also becomes super intriguing. I think the only bad scenario would be, and this is the same thing anytime anyone gets injured, we never want to not see star players on the field. I think the only negative, if you're just an NFL fan at large, is if Aaron sits out and doesn't play and we don't see him in a pack uniform or another uniform. That's my biggest fear, I guess, as just an overall fan. I want to see games with Aaron Rodgers on the field. Prefer, you know, whether it's with the Packers, probably would like to see them run it back again, see if they can get some, you know, vengeance for what happened against Tampa Bay last year, maybe conquer those demons, see that kind of play out, at least with another bout between those teams. But if he moves on, it'll still be really interesting to see wherever he ends up. As I've talked about in our last podcast, still feel like the Broncos, even if Von Miller is perfectly happy with Drew Lock, as he talked about the other day, I still think they're the one team that, in terms of where Aaron wants to be, a different conference, set up to win, I think that's the one team that I could see him going to. And it's just, how about the, if that did happen, how about the Broncos in terms of their, because I think they didn't technically draft John Elway, obviously, because the Colts drafted him and traded him there. So I believe, if I'm not mistaken, still the one quarterback, at least in the last like 40 years, with a playoff win drafted by the Broncos is Tim Tebow, which is just incredible. They continue their great luck of other quarterbacks coming in, obviously with Peyton more recently, and then if they get Aaron, man, that'll be something. And those divisional matchups between the Broncos and Chiefs, and even with Justin Herbert, what he's able to do throwing the ball around, that's going to be a really fun division if that happens.
Yeah, you can just imagine the setup for that Week 1 game between the Packers and the Saints. If you've got Jordan Love under center for the Packers, Taysom Hill for the Saints, and we think back to a year ago and thinking, man, you've got Rodgers, Breeze, and it's like, well, completely different they could look like there when we start Week 1. Of this season. But Dylan, it's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out. And I guess those are the main two things happening right now in the NFL. Not a lot else in terms of, you know, noteworthy things. I know the Stephon Gilmore one is certainly, you know, it's notable in terms of seeing what happens there. But I think we're probably still a ways away from kind of knowing the situation with that. But really elsewhere, not a lot happening right now in the NFL. The calm before, you know, we start the actual fun part here pretty soon.
Yeah, no, excited for things to heat up a little bit because, like, as you mentioned, it's pretty dead at the moment. But the Aaron Rodgers situation is providing us entertainment. And it's a good time, I think, as we've kind of talked about in last year when we reached this part of the calendar. It's a good time to reflect on overall where these rosters are, where things are going to be moving forward. And maybe it's a little early for fantasy talk. I don't know. I know a lot of you probably are starting to think a little bit about that. So still plenty of things that we can look at. It's good to take advantage of the time when there's less news and more time to actually just dive into the football aspect and things that, you know, obviously things are going to be a lot different from June to when the season starts, but it's fun to begin speculating, fun to, so we've looked over the schedule and finally, you know, with seeing all the, in the NBA playoffs and baseball and all the crowds being back, it also just can't wait to see like actual full crowds, the atmosphere. I mean, the Rams had a free practice at SoFi Stadium that I think drew like 15,000 fans or something ridiculous, which, you know, for a practice. So, and people that were there seemed to, you know, obviously just feeling like there's some sort of normalcy. Very excited for that to be coming back in the fall.
Think Ryan Tannehill's fantasy value has gone up any in the past couple weeks?
I you know, his should have been solid already. Yeah. I don't know how, you know, I still believe, even though it's interesting for a team that runs the ball as much as the Titans and has such a workhorse like Derrick Henry, you still end up, Tannehill still ends up having pretty solid numbers. It, you know, maybe doesn't rush as often as he could. He still got some decent wheels for as big of a guy as he is. But I think, yeah, if anything, a little bit of a bump. You'd be wary, though. You should be wary of maybe some people giving him too much credit. Maybe by the time we get to August, when you're having your fantasy drafts, maybe this will have died down a bit and people will be more realistic. But that is something I always try to look at. Like, after certain trades, sometimes we overact a bit. I think his actual values should be a little higher, but who knows exactly how much.
Well, I think Kyle Pitts' value is, if you're in a PPR league, I think he's probably going to see a lot of targets just based off of, you know, knowing all the pressure outside is going to be on Calvin Ridley. And so Kyle Pitts, I think, is someone that I would, he was already going to be, we know the tight end position. We'll talk plenty about that when it comes to fantasy, but I think he is someone that benefits from that just because there could be a lot of situations where he's having to catch 13 or 14 balls a game just out of necessity. So we'll see what happens with that. But that's all we got for now. I mean, that's we've got Julio with the Titans. We've got Aaron Rodgers speculation. Everything else, as we know, will start to pick up here as we go into next month. And things, of course, get geared up from there with the preseason minus one game and the regular season plus one game this year. But Dylan, we got it all covered over Clutch Points. NBA playoffs still going on as well. baseball in full swing, of course, here in the summer months. Let everybody know where they can find all of that.
Yeah, you can follow the rest of the NBA playoffs and all MLB games in the Clutch Points app. Still have any news that pops up in the NFL still covered on ClutchPoints.com and in the Clutch Points app and the NFL section on either site. We still have a little bit of draft stuff 2 months later, almost starting to look at prospects for the next draft. I mean, that's where we're getting out there. Overall, football is slower, but if you go to the NFL section, anything we're doing will be highlighted there, and excited to get back talking to you guys probably next week.
Yep. So check it all out at Clutch Points. And as always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, you can just search for Establish the Pass. You can find us there. And thanks as always for listening to this episode of the podcast. And thanks as always to the fine folks at Blue Wire for all that they do. And we'll talk to you guys next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.